You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913 Charity Golf Tournament. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, live from Herman Park. It is 8:01 here in the city of Houston. Glad you could join us. We have not mentioned yet Aaron Wilson. TJ wants to come on and talk about that here on ESPN 97.5. He's on the HRNP listener line. What do you say, TJ? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing great.
Hey, Johnny G, I know you're an ally to the Asian community.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a male golfer, female golfer, or food today since Japan won the Masters? Can we get that in? You talk to your allies in the community?
No. Not we can't do that anymore. Lance ruined it for everybody, so.
No, you can do it.
No.
Do it.
No, we can't do that anymore because of you. So congratulations, everybody.
Y'all do all kinds of stuff in the 10 o'clock hour. Do it in
what
10 o'clock
mean,
hour.
What do you mean all kinds of stuff?
What kind of stuff do we do? Make shade?
That's different.
We throw some, make some shade? Yeah.
Do the game in the 10 o'clock hour.
No, I can't. No.
No, it's too
late.
He's scared.
Because you're ruined. No,
he's
because
scared.
Everybody will say, oh, you're co-host. Oh, we got to fire him from NFL.com.
No, you can do that at 10 o'clock hour.
Right. No, congratulations.
I have plausible deniability.
Congratulations.
John's afraid. Wendy told him. Just cut it out.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Hey, before I get to Aaron Wilson, I just have to piggyback off Lance. As far as Alabama running backs, they're just like Ohio State quarterback. I mean, outside of Derrick Henry, you really can't think of nobody out of Alabama. Maybe the guy that just signed with the Texans. What's
Ingram.
His name?
Mark Ingram.
Richardson was a bust. Right, yeah. And then Eddie Lacy,
T.J. Yeldon,
kind of ate himself out. T.J.
Kenyon Drake is
of the league. Of the league, T.J. Yeldon,
Kenyon Drake is in.
Kenyon Drake's okay. Yeah, but to T.J.'s point,
yeah
start naming the great ones.
I'm not disagreeing.
Well, Derrick Henry,
he's the one
that's
that
it.
T.J. mentioned. Yeah.
Well, and they're comparing Najee to him.
That's wrong.
Yeah. And then, 31 years old, I haven't seen an Ohio State quarterback to do anything outside of a criminal record. Or turn a wide receiver.
Yeah, the Ohio State quarterback thing is a concern. You know, a lot of people try to make it a black quarterback thing. That's just who Ohio State is recruiting. It's not really a black quarterback thing. It's a system concern, the same way air raid quarterbacks were a real system concern. And now you're saying, because Tim Tebow was one of the original Urban Meyer quarterbacks, this is an Urban Meyer thing, right? Because Ryan Day is from the Urban Meyer School of Offense. So you had it starts with Alex Smith. So Alex Smith made it in the league. He was a run-pass quarterback at Utah when Urban was there. Then it was Tim Tebow. He was drafted and was a huge bust from Florida. And then you get into Ohio State, and you got Cardale Jones, Braxton Miller, switch positions.
Dwayne Haskins.
Troy Smith, Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm.
Troy Smith?
Remember Troy Smith?
A while ago, no.
Yeah. He was before Urban. Jim Tressel.
Yeah.
What's that? So, yeah, so I think that's what Fields is up against. I'd be willing to bet on Fields to
Barrett,
buck that
T.J.
trend.
Barrett.
But Barrett was – but listen, T.J. was never in the same – J.T. was never in the same category as Justin Fields.
Craig Krenzel.
No. Cardale Jones wasn't either.
That hurts.
But,
don't mention that guy's name.
You know, your point is that – so he's got to break – Justin Fields has to break that trend kind of like Baker Mayfield kind of did – well, Pat Mahomes did for the air raid offense, which I think helped Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield helped Kyler Murray because they're all coming from that same offense. So Justin Fields needs to be the guy that breaks the trend for the Ohio State quarterbacks.
Right.
And I think that's the case. Now, what did you want to bring up on Aaron Wilson?
Yeah, you wanted to bring up Aaron Wilson, TJ. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to get the behind-the-scenes story. I did read that he made some comments about the money grab.
Yeah.
And I guess the Houston Chronicle editor put out a statement, not naming names, but he sent it out to the whole Houston Chronicle. I just wanted to get the backstory. I know you guys are well-connected in the Houston community. Just to get the backstory of what really, really happened outside of that, if there's anything else more than what he said.
Yeah, well, for those of you who didn't hear, Aaron Wilson,
thanks, CJ.
Aaron Wilson, who is a columnist for the Houston Chronicle, was on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI in Boston on March 19th. And during that appearance, Wilson called the lawsuits a money grab. Now, this is when it just came out. This is the first. These are the initial ones. March 19th, they dropped March 16th.
Well, it's because they've been doing their own investigative stuff. But, this
was just when they first came out.
Yeah, Aaron did this early on.
Right. He called him a money grab and ambulance chasing. At one point during the conversation, we're talking about the Watson case. He said, in his case, it's kind of you don't negotiate with terrorists. People are demanding money. They're asking for money. It kept escalating. It kept going up and up and up. You're talking about more and more funds. I'm not going to say how much it got to go. It got to, but my understanding is, that there was an admission that it was, something, but just that this was, just a money grab. I mean, he was stumbling through this thing.
Because his internal filter was. So let me tell you about Aaron Wilson. Aaron Wilson knows a lot. Aaron Wilson knows where a lot of bodies are buried regarding football, the Texans, and OB, and Jack, and Deshaun. Like, Aaron Wilson knows a lot. He can't put a lot of stuff out there. So Aaron is to this day, a bit of a live wire because he knows a lot.
Didn't he do the bucket challenge?
No, he didn't do the bucket challenge. Oh. That was Brian T. Smith. Oh. So Aaron Wilson knows a lot of what's going on behind the scenes. I will tell you that. He is very, very much in the know. And this is with national people, too, not just local teams. He's well-connected with a lot of agents. What happened with Aaron was he had too much of an opinion early on, and he had too much information from one side. So I think he got information from David Mulligetta, or this is my belief. He got information from Deshaun's side telling him, money grab, this is how much money they want. A little bit of information is a dangerous thing because it can taint your opinion. Yeah. Instead of being objective, which he should have known, and he's a veteran now, he should know there's certain things you can and can't say. And even John, with his non-filter, is still filtered enough to know that you can't go out there in the middle of lawsuits charging a quarterback with this. You got to say, we got to see what comes out. Some people believe this is a money grab. We'll see if that's the case. You could have handled this in a much better way. For Aaron to take a stance that says this is a money grab, because what happens was after the first two, it turned to 6 like that,
yeah.
And then it turned to 10 and 12. And I think Aaron Wilson probably realized at some point he probably thought, oh, this may not just be a money grab, but it was already too late because he's on record as saying that stuff.
Terrorists, really?
Yeah. Well, no,
using that terminology alleged victim?
Aaron got really loose with his words, and he's a veteran. So
you can
tell,
though, at the end he was humming a humming a humming a.
Yeah.
What the hell did I do here?
No, I think he got information all from one side, and as we've found out in this thing, Deshaun, I don't think, was very forthcoming with his information to his own team. So when your information is this is all a money grab, that's what Deshaun's team I think probably thought early on too, and then they realize it's a little deeper.
You'll notice Mulligetta has not.
No.
Tweeted anything else about it after his initial one where he got destroyed.
Keep that same energy. No, he didn't get destroyed because he couldn't reply on his replies.
No. There were still plenty of people who retweeted it and replied.
Well, you have to. I mean, he has to protect
his. When his statistics were off, they were terrible.
But he's backing his own client.
Yeah.
Right?
But he hasn't sensed.
I understand him doing it because I don't think Deshaun was honest with him about it, probably.
No.
But I don't know. David is real tight with Deshaun. You see them in
tight
the going
to
out.
Tell him that.
No, so here's the thing. Go look at his Instagram. He and Deshaun are hanging out partying. Like, this is more than just I'm your agent and you call me. I think the Deshaun team rolls like a team. Brian Burney, Quincy, David Mulligetta. Brian Burney's his marketing rep. And then you have Deshaun, and you'll see them in pictures out at a lot of events and a lot of things doing things together. I'd be shocked.
Even still?
No, not now.
No.
But, I mean, I'd be shocked if Mulligetta didn't have a better understanding than Rusty Harden, maybe. But at the same time, you have to back your guy. Like, that's your cash cow. You have to back him. But clearly he didn't think it was going to turn into this. There's no way he did, or he wouldn't have made a public statement.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have made not that strong. Like, keep that same energy when we find out all the facts. Like, and now you can't delete that tweet. You just have to let us – you don't pin it.
Yeah.
You don't pin that tweet. But Aaron Wilson basically got loose with his language. It was early on in the process. He took a stand early on a definitive comment on what was going on when he didn't have all the information, probably relied too heavily on one side, and this is what happens. But that was out of line to say negotiating with terrorists. And I mean, don't you know that when you're dealing with potential sexual harassment that could even elevate beyond that, you don't make comments like that's a sensitive topic. Ooh. Aaron should have known better than to even make that comment.
He's got too much sense. Well, and he did apologize afterwards, and he said that he was insensitive. He apologized, and he said he's going to learn for it, and he'll never do it again. But he's not going to be working here. I don't know if this means the end of his. I don't know. Will somebody else hire him?
No, you can
with
get
this
hired,
on his resume?
But maybe not like a Chronicle type. Yeah, you can still. I don't know. Aaron's well-connected. He's good at his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get hired again. But maybe not at a Houston Chronicle, but a Sports Illustrated, SI.com, stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think that will kill him. He's contrite, and he should have. You know, he needs to come out and say, "Look, I didn't have all the information I got behind the scenes." He has to tell somebody, "I was relying on information from that site." It still was stupid. I don't care where your information was. Why in the world would you make a comment like negotiating with terrorists?
No.
This is a money grab and ambulance chasers. Even if you believe that, you don't say that on the record.
Nope. So that happened. I feel bad. You know what? You just got to know better than to say stupid stuff on the radio. So, yeah.
You got to feel like if Aaron Wilson just waking up in the morning and he's like, I got John Granato telling me not to say stupid stuff on the radio. So
really?
Come on. Look.
Of all
he
the
goes,
people?
Look, I know I crossed the line, but I got to get piled on by John.
John Granato's telling me don't say stupid stuff on the radio.
I have gone too far. I didn't realize it was this bad. I really have to be more introspective.
All right, time to talk about, I want to tell you, Rick came through with us. We had a grill off this weekend, Lance, at our church, and it was so awesome. He came out with a smoker for us that was just perfect. I got to give big ups to Texas Star Grill Shop. It was a Traeger that couldn't have been better. We smoked the ribs for hours and hours and hours, and they came out perfect. And Rick gave us a helping hand. Gus over at 59 and Shepherd, Lance, was spectacular.
Gus is great.
Their knowledge about how to – maybe you should talk to him.
Gus, that's how I got hooked up. That's why I'm making these bomb-ass briskets.
Whoa.
That's why they call them BABs.
Whoa.
Do you want to say something bad about Texas Star Grill Shop helping me make great briskets?
No, I'm just about your brisket. I don't know. You didn't listen.
Well, they're the ones who gave me the – I got the grill from them. I got the seasoning from them. So if you say bad stuff about my briskets, you're basically saying bad stuff about Texas Star Grill Shop. Is that what you like to do now at this time? Yeah, I didn't think so. Gus, by the way, Gus is awesome. Gus is the one who put me on Hardcore Carnivore, which helps you increase your chances of having a great bark on your brisket. Gus put me on this seasoning that's great for wings and for pork. It's got a slightly sweet and spicy. Gus put me on a rub for it's a garlicky rub you can use on beef or pork. I mean, the grills are phenomenal. I mean, they speak for themselves. They're high-performing, high-end, incredibly well-made Pits and Spits, Traeger, DCS, infrared grills from Saber, the ceramic cookers. There's so many different grills to choose from. They help you find the right one for you. You're going to get them for lower prices than any big box store that you can find. Assembly and delivery is guaranteed. They'll do that for free for you. But the other thing is, when you're there, it's a one-stop shop. So all your wood pellets and your charcoal, all of your marinades and rubs and sauces and meat thermometers and anything you can imagine. And by the way, they even give you St. Arnold beer when you stop in, because you know what's better? Going in around a barbecue shop looking for barbecue stuff, having a beer while you do it. TexasGrillShop.com. TexasStarGrillShop.com. TexasStarGrillShop.com. Four locations in the Houston area. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
Floor to the side right now.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913 Charity Golf Tournament. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
You guys missed some sexy grill talk during the break.
Yeah, it was hot.
But first, let me give you an opportunity, you know, to win some tickets. Don't go fishing until you've seen the 46th Annual Fishing Show, April 14th through 18th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. They've got everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, reels, and lures, guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats and hundreds of kayaks, and a kids' clinic on Saturday and Sunday. So caller 10 at 825. Caller 10 at 825, the 713-780-3776, wants a four-pack of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 46th Annual Fishing Show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more info. Caller 10, 825. Don't call in now. 825.
825 is the number. 825. So we are out here live at Herman Park for the Lucille's first, maybe annual, we don't know, their inaugural golf tournament, raising money out here for a couple of charities. They do an unbelievable job feeding hundreds, I mean, literally 190,000 meals they put in the Houston area for people that have needed it. Just unbelievable what Lucille's and Chris and his whole team has done so far for the city of Houston, and they're doing it again today. They're going to have a giant, they're going to put the restaurant on the 18th fairway. They're going to set it up that they're going to have dinner out there on the 18th fairway. I haven't seen any food from Lucille's so far, so I don't know what they're doing.
I feel like
I'm kind of disgusted with them a little bit.
You're probably going to miss out unless you you're staying to play, right?
No.
No.
No, so, our team kind of fell apart. So.
Oh.
Yeah. We had a couple of people that we reached out to, and then unfortunately they couldn't play. So, no, I'm not going to play today, unfortunately. But I played the course.
Number 11
Valley, as opposed
is the
to
tricky
you.
One
you're
out
too
here.
Snobby to play out here.
I'm not too snobby. I don't
John's
play golf.
Afraid
I don't
of
play golf anywhere.
Yeah.
Number 11's got a sand trap called the Hammer, and that's
the
why he's
Hammer.
Yep.
Number 11 does.
Here is 11 is brutal here.
The Hammer.
It's called the it's nicknamed the rocket ship because it sends your scores.
No, you just said it's called the Hammer.
It sends your scores real high. It's got two names.
Okay.
Actually, there
the Hammer's on the left. The rocket ship's on the right.
Actually, there is no sand on 11. But okay.
Oh, look
whatever.
At that.
Maybe in the maybe they've redone it since I played last.
Pretty sure. Now you're too big of a snob to play here with the people. Like I'm a man of the people.
You're not.
That's what
but
I am.
But you can keep telling right. that lie.
Okay.
Hey, what happened to the why didn't we beat the A's the rest of the games? Why are the Astros on a losing streak right now?
Because they didn't hit worth a flip.
Not by Astro standards.
No, not at all. They didn't hit.
No, 2-3.
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, and the A's are kind of – A's are better than 1-7. They're better than 1-7.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So –
how about the Padres getting their first ever no-hitter?
Whatever they were.
Padres get their first ever
former
no-hitter.
Astro.
Former Astro, Joe Musgrove.
Musgrove,
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Musgrove. Who is he? Was he with the Braves, too, I think?
No, he's with the Pirates. They traded him to the Pirates.
The Pirates, that's right. Musgrove, yep, former – Mike Fiers, all he does is throw no-hitters when he leaves the Astros.
Well,
think about this. Mike Scott, Mike Fiers, both.
Yeah.
Both, A's and Astros. That's crazy Mike Fiers has two no-hitters. He goes down
in history.
How are you
going to hit Mike Fiers? Well, no one knows.
Musgrove,
he won't pitch again.
Fiers, I know. Musgrove, Fiers, Mike Scott. I'm trying to remember Astros' no-hitters.
Didn't they have a nine?
The five-pitcher no-hitter against the Yankees.
Yeah. Six pitchers.
Nolan had a no-hitter.
Yeah,
six pitchers. Are those are the five? Nolan, Scott, Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan, the five-pitcher no-hitter.
Six-pitcher,
Mike Fiers, Joe Musgrove.
Joe Musgrove didn't throw one for the Astros.
No, former.
Nolan
Ryan. But I'm talking about former. A player who's been with the Astros who throws a no-hitter. After they've been with the Astros. It can't happen before.
There was another
Randy
one
Johnson never did he?
Verlander threw a no-hitter for the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Golly, that's just 2 years ago. Yeah. Verlander.
They had a four-pitcher no-hitter with Aaron Sanchez, Will Harris, Joe Biagini, and Chris Savinski.
Oh, that's right.
In 2019 as well.
Wait, was that the full nine inning? Was it
Joe
a full nine inning game?
Was in a no hitter.
That's impossible.
That was like the only game Aaron Sanchez pitched at, whenever he came over.
Was that like a seven inning game? Wasn't that a shortened game?
No, it was nine. Astros acquired Sanchez and Biagini.
Do you think it was a softball game?
I thought maybe it was a rainout no hitter.
It was 3 days earlier that they acquired those guys, and with them along Will Harrison, Chris Davinsky combined for a no hitter.
That was the high water mark. I remember when we were kind of excited about Aaron Sanchez. You know, he's been a pretty decent pitcher at one point in the past.
Sanchez Kyle went six, and then everybody else went one.
Yeah. What happened with Sanchez? He just
he hurt himself in that game.
Was there some
overextended?
Was there some kind of scandal with him?
No,
no. Okay. Daryl Kyle threw one in '93.
Yeah.
There's a lot more.
Ken Forsh threw one.
Yeah. See, Astros are team no hitter.
Don Wilson. Yeah. Twice.
Yeah. Told you. Larry
Nolan Durker. Ryan. Did y'all mention Nolan Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. Larry Durker threw one.
Yeah, Dirk. See?
See?
Probably Don Wilson. The Dragon Wilson. Probably
Don Wilson has two.
Yeah, I said
Don
Wilson. This is where you go for no hitters. Or after you leave Houston, you can still get no hitters.
Right. Well, but they
Nolan
learned
Ryan
them here.
After Houston, he got one with the Rangers.
They you learn how to do it here.
In a way, has been responsible for a majority of the no-hitters.
Every no-hitter.
In Major League Baseball history.
Yeah. Can you explain that way? You mean just happening to be a part of the organization?
Other than Don Larson's, because they weren't in existence yet.
Yeah. Musgrove.
Maybe more than just
Did Musgrove ever work with? Did Musgrove ever work with Stromer?
I'm sure he did.
Stromer?
Of course he did.
There you go. Yeah. Did Mike Fiers ever work with Strom?
Yes.
There you go. Did Fiers throw any no-hitters before he worked with Mike Strom?
No.
Mike Strom is a no-hitter maker. Wait, why am I saying Mike Strom?
No one
Brent
knows.
Strom.
I don't know. You can't explain this.
His brother.
Mike Strom, the slappy is an A-ball. Look, all you got to do is just throw it with your whole hand. Still listen to spin rate. That's a bunch of malarkey.
Don't listen to my brother.
That's a bunch of malarkey, that fancy spin rate stuff. Just grab it and throw. Rock and fire, baby.
My brother been snowing people under for years with that crap.
He's been making money like that. You know what you do? You just, I want you to rock back and just bring everything you got.
Yeah. Every pitch.
He's the Mike Maddox. Greg's like, I know. What? Oh,
Mike
he's
Strom.
A great pitching coach? Okay, great. Guess who was a great pitcher?
So Brent Strom, Brent Strom is a no-hit. Justin Verlander had one with the Tigers, didn't he? Before that one is first no-hitter. Verlander had a previous one, if I remember correctly.
Don't care.
Yeah. Strom got him one.
Yeah, right. Well,
Brent Strom is making no hitters for people in reality.
That's all he does.
He has three no hitters in his career.
So two and one. It's the first one in Padres team history.
How many
80
more,
some odd years, first one.
How many more will Verlander have for the Astros no hitters?
Will he ever pitch an inning for the Astros again?
Yes.
I said
year?
80 years. I don't even.
We're not listening.
Yes.
We know you're a liar. We don't listen to you.
Yes. Yes, he will
pitch
it.
This
he will
year?
Pitch this year for the
Who
Astros.
Who will?
Verlander. End of the year. He will pitch in September. And then you go into the playoffs with Verlander.
Don't start that.
Verlander, Fromber.
Don't get people all excited.
Well,
Verlander would have had his surgery instead of trying to bullcorn.
Here's a postseason rotation. Urquidy, Verlander, Fromber.
In no particular order.
No, in that
He has an order.
Urquidy game one, Verlander game two, Fromber game three, Odorizzi game four.
Odorizzi?
Where's Greinke?
Greinke, we don't know.
Where's McCullers and Greinke, the two who pitched the best?
He'll decide he can't get on the plane.
McCullers is sitting there with a sub 2 RA. Is like, is John still wearing me out like I'm the worst pitcher in baseball?
No, he's not the worst pitcher
in baseball. He texts me and goes, has John stopped wearing me out? I'm like,
I don't know. You got
to
ask him.
He likes his pitchers to be under a 1 ERA apparently, or a 5,
yeah,
over
thank
a
you.
5. One
thank
the
you. All right. I'm used to Cole and Verlander numbers.
Do you really
numbers.
Think Verlander goes this year?
Yeah, I do. I think at the end of the year.
I mean, if he would have just stopped trying to fight that feeling as too short a stay, instead of fighting a feeling and just said, yeah, okay, Chandler Rome's right. I do have this. I'm not going to try to prove him wrong.
He tried to fight
and
Chandler
had the
Rome.
Surgery immediately. Wouldn't that have helped?
Probably.
He waited later.
Well, but he wanted to work through his torn elbow. That's always a good call.
I don't know the specifics, but that would be incredible if he were on a roster at the end. You know the excitement level? If he comes back like September 5th and makes his first start, like, oh, my God. The place will be packed. Be excitement around Major League Baseball, like Verlander made it back. That really would be incredible. To catch Verlander coming into, if he really were healthy, coming, and even if he just had worked out of the bullpen – Like, even if he was just on a roster.
Yeah.
That would the energy it would bring, the confidence.
Well, how's he gonna? How's
he
gonna?
A couple years ago,
how's he gonna make the rotation with Urquidy?
Yeah,
spot. Can't make.
I said he'd be the game two
and Odorizzi. How are you gonna make it with Odorizzi? No, who's a late
game
pickup
because
Schwarber blasted his hand into submission
and left out Grinke and a McCullers.
Yeah, no, you know what? They're going to the pen. It's 8:28 ESPN 97.5.
And he's on James Click's ass.
713.
This guy
780-3776 is the number. To get in here on ESPN 90s. Who wants to talk about the about the Masters? Give a call right now. We're at the Augusta National
no,
of Houston.
No, we're not.
Herman Park. So if you want to talk about what went on yesterday.
They've banned certain segments of the population from playing for years?
Not here.
Oh, okay.
Not
then
here.
It's
everybody
not Augusta.
Plays here. Everybody plays.
That's what I thought.
No. No, you're a little disrespectful.
It's not Augusta of Houston then.
All right.
Name a course that didn't allow people to play.
They let everybody play. Now even women get to go out
what
there.
Even women. Look how you had to
even
see?
Women. Last week, those people had their own tournament at Augusta National.
Yeah, I didn't see that, John. No,
you
I
missed that?
Yeah, I missed it.
Okay, well,
I didn't. Was it done with out of protest?
So I'm an ally. You not so much.
Well,
I watched the women's amateur at Augusta National.
And
week.
I watched the women's Final Four, so we're even.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
No one. You were the one. It's 8:29 ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913 Charity Golf Tournament. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Give you guys a little direction and you struggle. Remember when I talked about that fishing giveaway?
Yeah.
Caller 5. To 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. Right now, call in if you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing. Don't miss the 46th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more info. Caller 5, 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets.
All right. There you go. AJ Hinch coming here. Mark Berman tweeted this out. Here's AJ talking about returning. The Houston fans have been incredible to me, both before the sign stealing and after the sign stealing when I was manager there. It's home for me. That city matters to me. Obviously, it'll be very emotional when I see them. How about when you had 8 outs to go? What happened then?
You don't forgive or forget.
I forgive, but I don't forget.
Are you going to go to the game and chant 8 outs to go?
I'm going to say put in Cole. Put in Cole. Put in Cole.
When they announce him, they do a tribute to AJ. What do you do? What type of tribute do you do for a manager on the video screen? What do you do for that?
Oh, well, the celebration. And then you put Garrett Cole sitting in the bullpen.
No, you don't do that.
Yes, you do.
That's not a tribute.
James didn't get that. It's not what the Rockets would do.
No. Well, Tate.
James got a special tribute.
Have the Astros retired AJ Hinch's, announced the retirement of AJ Hinch's number yet?
No,
AJ Hinch is AJ Hinch is the best manager since I've been an Astros fan, which was my whole life. He's the best Astros manager I remember.
Carr was pretty good.
Carr's all right.
No, he got into the World Series.
Just this team couldn't hit. That's not his
well,
fault.
I know.
That's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, Carr was a good manager. You know, I actually disagree with AJ plenty of times on some of the stuff where he just had such an adherence to certain players in certain situations, it actually irritated me. You know, but that's what happens when you have guys who are just the slave to the analytics.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, they don't – Dusty Baker, this is where the old school guys, you kind of like the fact that they say, you know what, I'm going to ride a hot hand. There is no such thing as hot hands. Analytics says everyone is the same at all times. Every individual output is something that is coordinated, and it is a individual output that is generated by data that doesn't support any potential hot streaks or momentum. Well, no, but I just saw a guy hit like 12 baskets in a row. That's not hot. Those are just happen to be individual outcomes that are all independent from each other, and they do not have correlation with the other. Yeah, but he's... What about heat checks?
There's no such thing as a heat check. Every shot could miss. The same percentage of missed chances make chance.
No, that's not true. Oh, so golf. Every shot could be great in golf, right? By that mode of thinking, every shot has a chance to be a round could at any point. If a guy's playing bad,
12 in a row,
he's just as likely to play good the next hole.
Chances are you could miss 24 in a row if you just hit 12 in a row, because you're a 33% shooter.
Yeah, so I guess that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And you can, in baseball, you can't possibly catch a heater. A guy can't possibly go from 2 innings to 3 innings, carry over that good feeling, because you get to the second time around lineup, and that's where guys can't possibly succeed.
Right.
Sign no hitters.
AJ was. He was too.
AJ got a little too.
And he won a World Series with it. But he also destroyed a franchise.
That World Series also. Yeah. To this. Oh. Yeah. No, I didn't destroy a franchise.
That's why he got fired, by the way. Inaction, his inability to corral that locker room when in fact all he had to do was say that's it, stop, no
but
more,
you know what?
Period.
Okay, let's say he did that. Let's say he did that halfway through. Mike Fiers is still going to. How would that have changed anything if Mike Fiers blew the whistle?
If it wasn't going on during the World Series, nobody could say anything. No.
But wait, they never said it was going on during the World Series, did they? That's in
the
commissioner's report.
The Dodgers say they lost is because they...
No, but that was never in commissioner's report. They say they stopped before the World Series.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, not before the 17 World Series. Not before the 17, before the 19 World Series, they didn't do it. But there was... No, I'm almost positive it went on the entire 19.
I thought it stopped
season.
Earlier than that.
And what have been the real repercussions?
Correa also claims the Astros did not steal signs in the 2017 World Series, and they did not use trash can banging in 18.
Yeah.
Giles, Astros closer in 17, claims that he was unaware of sign stealing altogether. Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred says the Astros. Oh, this is Fox Sports Radio. So, Rob Manfred, Fred says the Astros used trash cans throughout the 2017 postseason.
Yeah.
The Astros players said they were not using trash cans through 2017 because you couldn't hear it. How were the Astros relaying signs during the postseason? The garbage can signaling went on in the postseason. There was conflicting evidence on that point, but in an investigation, you often have conflicting evidence. And it was my view that more credible evidence was they continued to use the scheme in the postseason. Can you tell us what this evidence was? Yes, it was statements from players. Okay, never mind.
You said destroy the franchise. What were the actual repercussions other than guys losing their jobs? A reputation, sure, but the baseball didn't get worse. They had they struggled, but still made the ALCS last year.
Astros didn't have it.
Yeah,
didn't.
I mean,
it tarnished the reputation.
But as far as what happened to on field, nothing.
It didn't destroy a. You backtracked on that, John. It didn't destroy an organization. Texans destroyed an organization, but the Astros didn't destroy an organization.
Oh no, to Jim Crane, it did.
It tarnished. It didn't destroy the organization.
No. But it. Man, you did irreparable damage to the organization, yes. Irreparable.
To their reputation.
To their reputation,
yeah.
That's right. Which is why
the
Yankee letter ain't coming out.
But they're still competitive. There's no...
Oh, no,
they're
no,
still,
no, right.
So but, it didn't really... Like, what did it really do other than embarrass and tarnish?
Well, it ruined the good name of the Houston...
But it did...
It is the...
It didn't
it
take
is,
away...
It is quite possibly now, even more so than the most hated organization in all the sports.
Oh, well, too bad. Too bad,
no,
so
well,
sad.
I mean, that means something, especially to Jim Crane,
who thought... Who did they take over for the Yankees?
That it was... And, listen, it's not what we thought when we were watching it. It's not what we thought.
No.
Because we loved that team.
I will admit.
That was one of my favorite teams ever.
Ruining Kershaw the way that they did that fifth inning game, I mean, look, if I'm being totally honest, no one listening from outside the city of Houston, I mean, that seemed kind of trash canny. That you could, no matter who they brought in, you were just raking them into the outfield stands.
Yeah. What was it, Tyler Glasnow from Tampa?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, they got him.
Yeah.
Well, they got him with real – he was pitch-tipping with his glove. That's legit.
Well, yeah.
That was 18 also.
Yeah. No, but
– No, that was all legit, though.
But
you
they
can
said
do that.
That there was still, you know, funny business going
on. No, they showed where he was. Tyler Glasnow showed where he's admitted, my hand because you remember when Alex Bregman, you can find it where Alex Bregman pulls somebody aside and starts to tell them, if they're a trash can, they wouldn't have done that.
And that was 19.
That was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A glass now?
Yes, yes. That was 19. But you know what? Everybody thinks there was still funny business going on. And we don't know.
But
we really don't know. The whole organization is tainted.
But even the great John Boy did a whole video about Glasnow tipping his pitches because it was, I guess, pretty clear to everyone.
Well, if John Boy did it, then.
Yeah, so.
But it was very obvious, by the way. His breaking pitches, they had different glove levels.
No. But make no mistake about it. AJ was responsible, which is why he and Luno both got fired. They're responsible for this organization.
But my point was, if they would have shut it down halfway through, let's say he found out and he shut it down, if Mike Fiers had still said they used it in 17, fans would have still, because they won a World Series, let's say it wasn't even used in the postseason, fans would have still said tarnished, cheaters,
no.
And A.J. Hinch would have been
anywhere.
He wouldn't be fired. A.J. Hinch
wouldn't be anywhere near. No, not if he turned. If he shut it down halfway
through. Wait. You don't think if fans found out the Astros were banging on trash cans,
they
wouldn't have said it was tarnished?
Through, they stopped it.
They would have said it kept going.
No.
They would have said it kept going.
Well, no.
We live in a world where there's
no evidence like there is now.
You don't have to have evidence. Look at QAnon.
No.
You don't have to have evidence anymore.
No. Well,
I'm not even joking when I say that.
Anyway, if the word was that AJ shut it down, and AJ did do that, which he should have done, or I think Altuve should have done, you know what? Him doing that, and when he wasn't even down with it.
How about Beltran
doing
it? He brought it.
No, Beltran brought it. I get it. But Altuve was the leader in there, and he should have shut it down. He should have shut it down.
It should have come from inside the clubhouse. But AJ found out and got mad but didn't shut it down like he was.
He was culpable.
I still think a lot of people would have said, it's tarnished. Any way you look at it, the Astros cheated to get wins that year.
No. Not if they shut it down, it would have been. Well, not even close.
John,
it still wins in the season.
Yeah, but so what?
It's still everybody having their best offensive season in their histories.
Well, right, but not if it was midway through and they continued to win and they won a World Series. That would not be anywhere close to this. Not even close. All right,
what does it look like, Lance? Sorry, you can't. It's a visual thing. But.
Oh, and I shake my legs.
And his hands are under the table.
I'm shaking my legs.
Courtney's sitting right
here. I'm just shaking my
legs.
By the way, Tyler, can you get Courtney's been working her ass off the whole time she's out here. Can you please get, how about, you've got interns all over the place, Tyler. Does Courtney have one? No. Okay.
I have not been asked. She asked for the occasional invitational, and I sent that out, and I assume that.
Working
several of the interns are going
to
help
out here, and you're in there.
She didn't ask for this tournament.
Julia's probably doing all the work, pressing all the buttons while you're sitting around.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening because Julia knows how to run a board.
She does because Adele.
Well, she's learning, but she doesn't know quite yet. So I don't think she's in there. But
she's from Wilmette. She's got tutors on. I'm probably she has a board tutor already. Okay, that's how rich they are in Wilmette.
You're narrow casting to like one person, Julia, this conversation about that rich area in Chicago or wherever it is, Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, it's outside of Chicago. 844, Lance, what about a patio?
Texas Custom Patios, man. Wow. Watching baseball games out on a patio with an ice cold beverage, a beer from my friends over at St. Arnold, a cocktail made with my Blackland Distillery vodka. It's great. It's great. I listen to the game or I listen to music and watch a game. It's a great place for the kids to go outside and they turn on Netflix and eat their pizza and they're all hanging out while we get a little peace and quiet on the inside. It's a home away from home. And I need to call Stephen Shaw, as a matter of fact, because I'm going to get an outdoor kitchen added into the patio that's already been built. Now, the prudent thing is tell Stephen exactly what your dream patio scenario would be. Do you want a fireplace built in there? Do you want multiple TVs? Do you want a grill built in? Do you want an entire kitchen? Do you want it to be standalone? Do you want them to add a breezeway? No matter what it is that you want, they can do it. But if you're like me and you don't even know what you want, they can also do that for you too. Their design is amazing, amazing, and they can show you exactly what it's going to look like. But they also make it super hassle-free. Like, they're on top of everything. So even if you're someone who's a little uptight, you're going to find that they're one of the best companies you've ever worked with because, frankly, Stephen Shell's uptight. He wants everything to be perfect, and that's what you're going to find the product is. It's amazing. Look, go to See My Backyard, the before and after, at TCPLance.com. TCPLance.com. You can see for yourself the job that Texas Custom Patios can do for you.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913 Charity Golf Tournament. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, apparently, now, Rusty Harden has admitted that there was sex involved, consensual sex, which he had to anyway because he said it before. Yeah.
Said what?
He had said he had used the term consensual sex before.
He didn't say sex. He said it was consensual. Yes, he had never consensual. Gone. This is the first time that he said there was consensual. He said that everything was consensual, but this is consensual sex. This is getting stranger. The defense is now like, here's the defense for a guy. Here's a defense. Rusty Harden's defense is, I know you think there's a lot, but there's actually more. And also, my client is not involved in sexual misconduct. He had multiple events, multiple occasions of consensual sex. Like, that's, which shows a pattern of having sex with massage therapists. Like, how is that possibly a help for Deshaun? You know, the only thing this is that I can figure this out, John, is that he's saying, okay, let's just put it all on the table. Deshaun had consensual sex, and now we have to try to get the names of those who we feel like, this is what he's doing. We want the names filed, and 16 of the 22 have refiled with their names. And he's out there saying, yep, we had consensual, Deshaun had consensual sex with some. So now what I think they're setting the stage for is saying, okay, that one was consensual sex. That one was consensual sex. That one was consensual sex. That's bull. We're fighting these. So he can lower the number down to maybe 14, settle, and be done. That's what I think is going on here.
Could well be. Could well be. But if there are some, I mean, it's still a he said, she said, and the burden of proof is much lower in a civil trial. So a jury or a judge might believe
he's gonna get whacked.
These girls are. Wait,
you just said yourself there's consensual sex.
You're telling people
that he's wide open to a sexual experience. Why would that make it less hard to believe that he's wanging people?
Mm-hmm.
That he's out here going. Squirming around and flipping it to one side
and thrusting and
yeah, that sounds completely likely based on Rusty Harden. Like, listen, here's 18 more. Put them on the tote board, well, and our guy was having
yeah,
sex.
But the other those 18 all said, "Oh, nothing ever went down. He couldn't have been more professional." And now he's saying, "Oh no, there was plenty of concessions." What?
Rusty has nothing.
He's got an awful client. That's what he has. He has a client that's hard to defend.
Yep.
Because I'm sure every day Rusty's like,
the defense
has
now turned into it's consensual sex is the defense.
Man, you know, not every, just because he's famous and it's a high profile case,
I have to take everyone.
Don't mean it's a good case. This is not.
I bet Rusty, I bet Rusty wishes he didn't take this one. I mean, until that $6.5 million bill rolls in,
Oh, well.
Hey, he'll play again.
You know what? I'm 49-1.
Misses a season. So Deshaun misses a season, and this thing costs him $12.5 million total.
Yeah. 49-1.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That check still clears, so
yeah.
We'll be fine.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, billable hours don't lose.
No.
That's not it. You don't lose with billable hours.
Never. Never. No. Yeah, just like a fighter.
When did you first learn
that
about
purse.
The first time I learned about billable hours was from reading The Firm, John Grisham. Reading The Firm, and I'm like, billable hours? So they can just tell you that they've been working this many hours on your case?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem
great. Well, I knew about billable
hours
long before that.
Billable hours, then I learned about it at my divorce.
Someone tweeted something I feel like makes a lot of sense. Why you're not getting many Masters calls.
Almighty Dollar said, I plan on calling in today to talk Masters, but I have my first round of the Pfizer on Friday. So he's allergic to it. He's allergic to talking golf. So I think a lot of people got their Pfizer shots on Friday and now can't call in to talk about golf.
Pfizer don't want that. Pfizer don't want you to tell – because you know how many people are going to say, oh, I'm not getting a Pfizer shot because, oh, I won't be able to talk golf? Because everybody wants to talk golf, okay?
I think people are prioritizing vaccine and safety over golf. So, mean, sorry, John, it's a bad weekend for the Masters, that Pfizer shot hitting hard. Huh. I'm still a little wary about talking. I'm worried about the effects.
Stop. Okay, you were talking golf earlier today.
No,
okay.
Not so much, because I'm coming out of it. It's like I'm drowsy, but I'm almost there. I'm almost clear-headed again, but the Pfizer still hitting a little bit.
It only lasts 40 hours. How long ago did you get your shot?
Some people react differently, John. I got my shot on a Tuesday. I think it's a week for me. And tomorrow, if you want to talk all the golf, I'll be here for you. But today, ease me into it.
Trevor Lawrence got married. He skipped a draft something and he got married. How could you skip your pro day for marriage?
Gee, I wonder why. Is he going number one?
Decision making though?
Didn't he just propose to his girlfriend like a few weeks ago?
It feels like it. I got a text from someone and their immediate response was what's he doing?
She wants to be married before those checks start coming in.
Is that good or bad? How does it work for Trevor?
Like, if he made it before she got there, she doesn't have any right to it.
So it's better for her to get married
before the checks roll in.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
So, I'm just saying. I'm not being.
You think she's that cynical in her approach to love,
being
John?
Cynical.
Or is it like a Pat Mahomes and his girlfriend situation where they got married got engaged and she was pregnant already and then got married before she had the baby?
Yeah, we don't know.
We
don't know. I don't know. She doesn't look that
pregnant.
I'm
not as cynical as you guys.
You don't think it's just love that they got married this soon after the engagement?
Oh, there's got to be something funny going on here.
Look.
Why would you have to rush into this thing?
Well,
like that?
What was the text I got?
Maybe they decided that they wouldn't have any relations until they got married, and Trevor's like, let's go. To get married.
Nah, I think you have this all wrong. Trevor's from a small town in like Georgia. I think the first time he was hooked and he was hers. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a very worldly person
he got plenty of offers at Clemson.
Despite his reputation of saving college football because of a couple tweets last year. But Trevor met that girl, was like, she's the one. Like the text I got was, Trevor Lawrence got married? I don't understand. It's like, neither do I, but I say maybe he's just a dumb football player.
You don't understand anyone getting married ever. Yeah, so you're a bad person
maybe
to be
he's
judging.
Just a dumb football player.
That was my response.
You don't agree with
maybe
that.
Maybe he's just some meathead.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think about Lance getting married? Well, what do you think about me getting married?
Well, look, you guys didn't have many prospects.
I love how – have y'all noticed that your phone calls, like there's now –
I've never seen political calls.
I've never seen that either. It's a brand new one for me. But now when people try to hit you with those little sneaky calls.
I've got scam likely.
Yeah, I've got spam risk.
Yeah.
Spam risk. I know that's nothing.
Yeah. I never answer that.
Or it's one of my kids calling me off Alexa.
I don't ever.
Alexa, call Dad again.
Nah.
Dad, Mason ate the last piece of garlic bread. Uh-huh. I'm at a friend's house. Can we just watch this? What are y'all doing? They called us 21 times in a row. We didn't have our phones in. My wife's friend had her birthday party, and we hadn't been to anyone's birthday party. I go to my phone, like, oh, I missed 21 calls.
Sounds important.
And they're emailing, you know,
about
they're
what?
Calling Mimi
about
because they wanted us to order their pizza. Swear to God.
So Meemaw got called
and
too?
Mimi's calling. Y'all need to call home because the kids want you to order the pizza. They're starving. It's 6:15.
They were starving.
Why'd you leave your kids at home without any food? What kind of parent are
Alec
you?
Alec was there. Alec won't.
Is he one of your kids?
Yeah, Alec's one of our kids, but he only makes food for himself.
Well, yeah,
he
of
doesn't
course,
care.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
I'm like, what
I'm
are y'all doing? Just
brothers,
order Domino's, you dummies. We'll pay you back.
Oh, no. You can't trust parents to pay back.
No, make sure.
That's actually true.
No, you can't.
One of my kids went after me yesterday and, like, Mason says, I think you still owe me 40. I'm like, what?
He goes,
I know Mom owes Alec 200 from his dog sitting when you got Venmo, and I don't think he ever got paid on Venmo. I said, yes, he did. He goes, I don't think he did.
Well, I don't think he did.
You guys, like, I pay back.
Hey, Dad, I don't owe you anything.
Yeah.
Did you eat today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
exactly.
In this case, no.
I just paid you back.
In this case, no. They didn't eat.
Okay. Apparently not.
Yeah, they did. I ended up ordering them a pizza, and they were complaining. Like, pizza, it took
about,
an hour.
How about something healthy with some vegetables
no,
in it?
No, they had.
They're green peppers on it.
No, they don't have.
No. I know. They
My
wouldn't
kids
eat it.
Are, nothing. Okay. Yeah. Half cheese and half pepperoni on one, and then bacon on the pepperoni half. Then on the other one, I'm like, well, I mean, what? Can we just get pepperoni pizzas and be done? Oh, Italian sausage on half. Pepperoni on all of it, and the other side, extra cheese. Like, no.
No.
No, I tell you what's going to happen. Pizza's going to show up, you're going to eat it, and you're not going to call us again at all. And God forbid we end up staying later than we thought. Marty is calling every 30 minutes. What's the deal? You said you'd be home at 8:30. It's 10:30.
What kind of kids are you? When my parents are not here, I was thrilled.
No, I love
exactly.
That.
The daughter needs us to be home. The other boys are like, this is great.
9 o'clock.
Lance,
ESPN,
you have a helicopter daughter.
Oh, we definitely have a helicopter daughter.
No, you got
Mom, you said you were going to be, like my wife will tell her, we'll be home in 10 minutes. Like, you got to stop doing that because you're just going to bring a lot more calls on us.
Because in 11 minutes, guess what happened?
Mom, did you leave yet?
Time to talk about HR and Marty be great in HR, wouldn't she? Oh, you want to talk about investigative?
A lot of people having to go through additional like courses for a lot of problematic people she can find.
Oh no, absolutely.
Ooh, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to do the work.
In a perfect world if Marty
the phrase
was in
do
HR.
The work. Marty will make you do the work.
Right. That's what HR and P needs. They need Marty overlooking all HR. Listen. You need somebody overlooking your HR because your HR, you don't want to be doing this if you're, and you don't want to be making mistakes because there's plenty of people that have made mistakes with HR and it's not a good thing for your business. You just can't do it. You have to have somebody that you can lean on. We do. We called them. We've had to call them before, and David Guy has told you it wasn't me. And they will investigate it and they will take care of it and they will give you the advice that you need to handle situations in your business because that's what happens. If you have 15 or more employees and you're still doing your payroll or your HR, or if you're using an HR and payroll company that you're just not completely satisfied with, well, ours, you will be. We love our HR&P, and you will love them too. You can call up to our station and ask Laura Beavers about them. You're looking for a great payroll and HR company, and that's what they do. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is ESPN 97.5.